Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 3. Welcome to another episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers podcast. I'm Joel. I'm joined today by my friend, my good friend Sean here. We're having a little beer session in his backyard right now.
Yeah.
So I thought it would just be cool, just to interview some of the folks that I know who have been instrumental in my own growth in my love for craft beer. And Sean's been one. He and I, a couple years ago, started just getting together on a Tuesday night. And then it grew into a whole bunch of people getting together. And it grew into something that's now called Tuesday Night Beer Society, which you can find on Instagram if you want and follow it.
Tuesday Night Beer Society.
Tuesday Night Beer Society, yes, if you want to follow the escapades of all the people. It's not just us anymore. It's a whole bunch of people that post cool pictures, better pictures than I can take. So I wanted to have a little interview in his backyard while we're drink some beers, get some skeeter bites along the way.
My twins might make an appearance as well.
Yeah, he's got twins, just fresh baked twins, just fresh out the oven. So Sean, I like to ask the same questions of everybody that I have on here, and so you're no different. I'm going to ask you the same ones. Just curious, how did you get started in craft beer?
Well, let's see. When I first tried beer, a couple sips here and there in high school. I thought it was revolting. And every sip I took, I wanted to vomit out of my mouth. And that is why it stayed as a couple sips here and there in high school. And then something changed, and I tried real beer, or is what we call craft beer.
Yes.
I'd like to just call it real beer. And I was like, wow, this is actually delicious. And so then I started down the slippery slope of trying all the beers, and that's where I'm here now.
What was the first beer that you had that you actually thought was tasty?
It's like, not even a craft beer. It was a Negra Modelo.
Hey, I like Negra Modelo. At least last time I had it, I liked it still.
But that was the turning point. My friend Nate, which you know as well, he had me try one, and I was like, that's actually pretty tasty, and I drank the rest. And then I had Stone IPA, and then Green Flash Palate Wrecker.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, that
just went straight up there.
Oh, yes.
So what was the moment that your palate just transformed? Was that a moment you were aware of where, like, you realized your taste buds had changed?
It was kind of a slow evolution. I noticed that I kind of liked hoppy beers once I tried the Stone IPA, and I really enjoyed the Palate Wrecker as well, which is kind of funny because now I don't quite enjoy it as much. But so I realized, okay, so I like bitter beers. And then I tried some Belgian beers, and I was like, oh, I kind of like Belgian beers. And then it just kind of expanded, especially with the Tuesday Night Beer Society and trying all sorts of different beers. And now I think I'm up to 2,600 that I've tracked.
Good old Untapped.
Untapped, which, I mean, so it's just kind of slowly evolved over the years.
Use it as a beer journal. That's really like the most useful thing I think about it. So it's been a steady evolution for you. What's your favorite thing? Let me rewind. So now, you've had 2,600 unique beers that you know of that you've been able to actually kept track of. So recently, in recent memory, like, what's a brewery that you're super excited about? What's something that you're excited for right now?
Like, how recently?
Like the past 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah.
I would say the most exciting thing I've been to was actually Burgeon Beer Company last
night. Oh, really?
Night.
Burgeon? Yes. Okay, yeah, you'll hear us talking about Burgeon again.
Especially as far as local beer
companies. Another segment here. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And as far as nationwide, and let's say in the last year, I would have to say the Vale. The Vale, as far as top to bottom, every style that they've come out with, and also just the people who are involved there. One, all the beer is fantastic, and the people are even better than the beer, which is
some solid,
pretty hard to beat.
Solid brews going on. Yeah, the Vale is knocking it. And they're innovating on some styles that are less popular, I would say, and doing really interesting stuff with some of those styles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gozas, which are actually more popular now. I would definitely say Gozas are very more popular.
But theirs are actually good.
Theirs are delicious. Recently had one that actually tasted like a Hawaiian punch.
I was there with you.
Yes. Yes. Never aloha. If you can get some, get some. Also, you know, Saisons, I mean, it's not just IPA. They've innovated the zero IBU IPA, which we'll actually talk a little bit about in another segment.
I believe they were the first ones who did that, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
At least they're the first ones who made a popular one.
Yeah, to make a big deal about it, and rightfully so. It's good stuff. So what's, so Burgeon and then the Veil. So Burgeon, what's one beer that everyone should try from Burgeon?
Oh, the Mixed Greens, I think.
Mixed Greens.
I mean,
it's an IPA.
The one that we have, Universal Secret, in front of us is quite nice, and I believe it's the best East Coast style beer on this side of the coast, south of Monkish. Oh, however,
so good.
I believe the Mixed Greens, when I tried it, is one of the most unique and I can drink that beer right now. I've only had it a couple of times, but you could blindfold me, hand me that beer, and I could absolutely pinpoint it.
Nice.
Which is kind of hard in the very saturated West Coast double IPA market.
Yeah.
So well, I found that really impressive.
Yeah. And then the Veil. What's one beer?
Oh, I can't pick a
beer,
dude.
Pick one. I mean, there's a few that they've done many times.
Oh, yeah, they've had a few. I mean, I really don't want to be you. I don't want to be you. All those beers, the zero IBU kind of East Coast style beers, those are all incredibly unique and
they've had about four
delicious.
Or five different variations of that one, I think.
Crucial Taunt, the double dry hopped. I mean, just show up there. If you can make it there, just show up there. Just blindfold yourself, point at the tap board, and you won't be disappointed.
So if you find yourself in the vicinity of Richmond, Virginia, go to the Vale and just order whatever they have. And just you'll
have
to. After
a nice lunch at Mekong or The Answer.
Oh, man. You'll probably have to wait in line, though. It's a busy place, a popular spot. All right, so favorite thing about the beer, craft beer industry / the scene right now. Go. What's your favorite thing?
So it would have to absolutely be the community and, in general, the people who are involved in it. In fact, I would say that is probably the only reason that I've gotten as deep into it where as I have.
Helps when everyone's bringing stuff that you wouldn't otherwise be able to try.
Oh.
And you get to try a whole bunch of different beers in one night.
It's what's really kind of cool about the community, at least the core part of the community, is that when, like, let's say you show up to a share, I would say about 95% of the people are like, oh, what can I contribute? What can I share with you? Oh, it's a great catalyst to any conversation. And you really get to talk to a bunch of different people from different walks of life. I mean, like, because of this, like, some of my best friends are, like, my dad's age.
It's true.
And it's not weird at all.
It's not age or gender specific, although there's definitely a lot of dudes in it.
Yeah, there are some
more dudes than
girls are picking up on it.
Yeah.
But I would absolutely say that's my favorite part.
All ages, all walks of life. That's cool.
You could sit down at a bar and by yourself and make a friend and have a beer with a pleasant stranger.
Absolutely. Yes, that's hence the name of this podcast. Yes, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Now from your vantage point, what do you see happening next? Where do you see the industry going in general? Like, what's something that you think is on the horizon? Or
sadly, in my opinion, I see the bubble popping a little bit, but I think it's a good thing. I believe it's kind of be more like refining gold, whereas like the dead flies and the impurities and the not so good beer breweries, I don't think are going to survive. There's been a huge influx in just crazes and trading, and at some point it just has to break. And I don't necessarily view that as a bad thing.
Hey, I think we've got some some special guests. Sean recently became Papa times two. He has twins, doubled the size of his family in one day. Didn't take very long. Yeah. So he's got babies. Yep. That's right. You're going to have to. Yeah. Oh, can you really? Wow. Wow. Impressive. Oh, impressive. Yes. Impressive. Oh.
Let's not
teach them. I won't dare you to drink beer and hold two of your offspring at the same time.
Yeah, I won't even try that.
So, thanks for letting us do this in your backyard. Thanks for being on, and thanks for bringing children.
They look much happier now.
Beer with pleasant babies is going to be the next, and they are very well behaved babies. Very. Yeah, for eight days old. Oh my gosh! Wow. All right, cool. Well, hey. So real quick before we sign off here, well, we're gonna do a couple tastings actually next. But before we sign off, you know, how can people find you? Are you on Instagram or something? Are you on?
I am on Instagram.
Yeah. What's your handle?
Small Poor Sean.
Small Poor Sean.
Yes.
Is that why you have this gigantic glass?
With only about an ounce and a half.
I see. I love it. Small Poor Sean. Well, he's got to get home to his children, so he can't have too many big pours. All right. Well, thanks for being on. You know, we'll put that in the show notes. Go find Sean on Instagram, Small Poor Sean, and
P-O-U-R-S-E-A-N.
And you probably will find. Yeah, he's not poor. Well, I mean, as far as I know, he might be poor. Now, he's not poor with beer, that's for sure. His cellar is pretty stocked up. Could probably sell it off if you needed to recoup.
I did waste my life savings, so.
Yeah, that happens. That's definitely happens. Don't tell my wife, but it happens.
Don't tell mine either.
All right.
Because
it's
if
a
you
deal.
Tell mine,
even though it's immortalized.
She'll tell yours.
This is a little. We're gonna do a little tasting segment. We're tasting something that's kind of new and kind of unique. It's from Bergen Beer Company, which is located in Carlsbad, California. And Sean, why don't you tell us what is special about this beer that we're gonna be trying?
Well, it is a zero IBU East Coast India Pale Ale in the fashion of the Vale's I Don't Want to Be You. So that means they use no bittering hops, and then they only use added hops in the finish to give it the flavor or the juiciness, as people would
yes.
like to say these
yes.
days.
As far as I know, and this is a West Coast first. Bergen has taken up the mantle of zero IBU IPAs before any other West Coast breweries that I'm aware of.
I haven't heard of any others either.
So this is available in their tasting room, or maybe it's already sold out. By the time this podcast gets posted, it might be gone, but I'm sure they'll make it again. Let's try it and see what we think. Oh, yeah. It's like...
That's good.
It's sweet and kind of fluffy, and it kind of like... I don't know. It gets like... I get like a vanilla off of it.
I get a lot of... I get the vanilla too, but I get really kind of more of like the mango, kind of more tropical
fruits
on this side. Also, when I had my mother-in-law taste it, she thought it was a fruity beer that they threw in a bunch of fruit into.
No fruit.
And that's why she didn't like it.
Just hops. Three different kinds of hops. Vic's Secret is one of them, hence the name Universal Secret, and I totally blanked on the other two. We'll put that in the show notes so you guys know. This is really tasty, super tasty. This is going to be a hit. I feel like there's only more breweries that are going to start trying to do this style. Might have been Amarillo. Our camera guy is trying to help us out. He, you know,
I don't think it's Amarillo, but
we'll do our homework next time.
Because I remember we were talking about how Amarillo doesn't really fit this style quite as much, or at least the brewers from Bergen were.
It's a soft, pillowy mouthfeel. Like carbonation is like nice and.
Well, what's
restrained.
Interesting about this is, as far as breweries trying the style on this side of the coast, I haven't had very many like real hits that I'd say. Like, I mean, there have been some breweries doing all right stuff, like Modern Times, Abnormal is all right.
Cellar Maker.
Cellar Maker is their own style. I don't consider
okay.
them East Coast, but other than Monkish, I don't think that there's been anything.
Monkish,
this good from this coast.
Monkish is in a league of their own on the West Coast. firmly believe that they're pretty much in a different echelon out here.
Absolutely.
No one else is doing what they're doing with the consistency of and just the stylistic.
Oh, yeah. They've come out with how many hits?
I don't even know.
How many misses have they had?
None that I can think of. There was one that I don't remember the name of. It was one of their Growler specialty releases that I kind of had a little bit of a bubblegummy thing, but that was about all I could knock about it. But this, Burgeon, here in Carlsbad, which is in North County of San Diego, Southern California, this shows promise. This holds promise. And Burgeon is one of those beer, new beer breweries. It hasn't even been open for a year yet. And I think they're set up to grow strategically. I think they've definitely set themselves up for success because, like, they've got a lot of space and capacity to expand, but they're not, like, trying to, I don't think they're trying to be, like, the next Stone or anything right now. They're just trying to do beers they like.
Well, I was talking to them last night, and they had planned on never outgrowing their ability to make quality beer. They used, as an example, Russian River, and how they haven't really expanded too much until now they're going to expand. But they looked at them, and they said, hey, you know, they haven't expanded. I mean, Pliny the Elder, I mean, you could...
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you could make that in a Anheuser-Busch, system, and it would still probably sell out across the country. So...
For a while, it would. That's for sure. Yeah. Until everybody had it, and then they'd be like...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still one of the ones I'll always get.
Yeah.
Scarcity breeds.
So they... Whereas with Stone, I mean, Stone was... I mean, they're one of the pioneers. Actually, their brewer, Anthony?
Yeah, is that correct? Anthony is the head brewer at Burgeon. He worked for Stone.
Yeah, he worked for Stone for quite a while.
And that's where he got his start. And
actually,
then,
this is a Stone collaboration.
It is. That is correct. We neglected to mention that. This is a Stone collaboration. Well, it's kind of a fuzzy Stone collaboration.
Yeah, Stone supplied the hops.
Yes. Anthony worked for Stone, and he actually worked for Rough Draft as well. Before going to Burgeon, I believe.
Interesting. So. Something else interesting about Burgeon, in my opinion, why they're really set up to succeed. Well, one, they started right off the bat. I mean, they got obviously a very good brewer. I've had a couple of their beers, and I haven't had a miss yet. Mixed Greens is one of the
more
clearly definable double IPAs that I can, like, as far as, it's West Coast style, isn't it?
I would say it is.
It's definitely... one of the more unique and definable double IPAs that I've had on and, draft recently.
They're going to be canning pretty soon, releasing their first cans. And so maybe even by the time this podcast or this little video goes up, their cans will either be impending to come out or have just come out. So if you live anywhere near Carlsbad or San Diego or you know people, put a bug in their ear to get some of the early cans because I know they're canning two different beers. Not this one, although I'm sure that they would get around to it eventually if this was a hit. Yeah, so that's exciting. That's great because we all love our eastern half of the United States canned hoppy beers and interesting beers, but it's definitely a lot easier when they're in your own backyard.
Yeah, I'll take this
mosey on over there
any day over over many of those East Coast juicy beers, with the exception of a couple greats.
Yeah, this is up there. So, well, that was a universal secret. Thanks for tasting it with me, Sean.